What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today is June 22nd, a nice cloudy Friday today. Again, my name is Ludy Biasi, your host of the Locked On Eagles podcast, and coming to you today, we're going to be talking about a few interesting things. The first thing I'm getting into is jersey guidelines. I need your guys' help with this. I really want to know what you think. What are the right ways to own and purchase jerseys? So that we're going to get into that specifically because I have a story I need to run by Eagles fans. And also, we're going to be talking about the ones that got away, players that were close or projected to becoming Eagles that you really wanted to be an Eagle but never ended up coming to fruition and did not end up becoming a Philadelphia Eagle. So we're going to get into those two things today here in the Locked On Eagles podcast. A few little quick news alerts, though. This Monday, we have Dennis Dixon joining the show. I teased this last episode. Dennis Dixon, a former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, former Heisman runner-up from Oregon. He was, you remember, pretty much Chip Kelly's first big quarterback that he coached at Oregon when he was the offensive coordinator. Dennis Dixon came in 2013 with the Eagles. Some people, including myself, projected him to end up being a starter. He did get cut in August after they drafted Matt Barkley in the fourth round, but nonetheless, he's one of my favorite players growing up in football. And so we're going to get his thoughts because he is in the new Upstart Flag Football League, the AFFL, alongside a lot of former Eagles, including Michael Vick, Jason Avant, Brandon Boykin. So we're going to get his thoughts on this new Flag Football League, the future of football. He was a big quarterback when it came to read options, so we're going to get into his thoughts of the new wave of quarterback, and maybe if he played now, well, would his career be a different story? You know, stereotypes with African-American mobile quarterbacks. All of it, we're going to get him on the show Monday. I'm very excited to have him on. Again, a fan favorite of mine. And a few other things. So again, last show I announced that we have two new members of the Locked On Eagles Network, and that's Justin Grasso and Johnny Page. Justin Grasso works over at Inside the Eagles, and Johnny Page is a writer still for Bleeding Green Nation. So very excited to have those two guys on board. Justin's going to be my co-host a few times throughout the week. He makes his debut Monday, and Johnny Page is bringing you a brand new film-based podcast here in the Locked On Eagles Network, and that as well should most likely start up next week. So very excited for all of that coming up next week. And also Graham Barfield of Fantasy Guru is coming on next week because, you know what, it's June, it's basically July now. Eagles training camp doesn't officially kick off. It was officially announced today that Eagles training camp starts the 25th of July, so we have exactly a month to go until we really have any more major football activity. So what time is it? It's fantasy football season. I know most of you, including myself, prefer to have your drafts in late August to just prevent injuries, because nothing is worse than drafting a star running back in the first or second round, and then in the second preseason game, he tears his ACL. But it is draft prep season. You know, the fantasy magazines come out. Most sites have their rankings out, so it's an exciting time for fantasy football. So we're going to have Graham Barfield come on again of Fantasy Guru, and he's going to talk about some Eagles maybe you want to target or stay away from in the world of fantasy football. But first, let's get into today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And the first thing I got to get into is jerseys. Is owning... Let me run by this to you, because Kelly Green jerseys are big with Eagles fans. They're huge for their history. The Eagles wore Kelly Green basically after they were the blue and yellow jerseys in the 30s. They basically wore Kelly Green up until 1996 when Jeffrey Lurie took over and they got this new midnight green, which the midnight greens, there's been a few different shades of it, but when you think of the Eagles, the majority of the time it was in Kelly Green. So, you know, people, including Jeffrey Lurie, want to bring the Kelly Green jerseys back in some fashion, including myself. I love them. In 2010, when they wore those Kelly Green 1960 jerseys to celebrate the championship in 1960 with Michael Vick, remember that was his first game in the comeback player of the year season in 2010, seeing LeSean McCoy, not Carson Wentz, but Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson, Michael Vick in those jerseys, I think got some more people excited wanting to bring the jersey back. And, of course, the problem right now is the two helmet rule in the NFL, that you're not allowed to have two more than one helmet, so you can't have multiple helmets. So the Eagles can't have a Kelly Green helmet, therefore the jersey's pretty much irrelevant. You can't do it because you're not going to have a midnight green helmet on Kelly Green jerseys. But they're amazing. They are one of the best jerseys in the NFL. So me, being a not a jersey junkie, but just being an impulse buyer when it comes to Eagles merchandise, I found on eBay a Carson Wentz Kelly Green jersey from the 1960 season. It's the exact same jersey that they celebrated wearing week one in 2010, only it's a Carson Wentz. And I know it's not official, but I need your help, Eagles fans. I want to know, and drop me a line at DiBiase LOE on Twitter. Is it acceptable to buy this jersey even though it isn't official? Or is purchasing jerseys that aren't official, is it frowned upon? Because, you know, I understand, and I want to get what your guidelines are for jerseys. I'm going to post something, an article about this on LockedOnEagles.com. But I'm curious what your rules are when it comes to jersey purchases, whether it's age. I know some people don't believe in buying jerseys if you're over the age, basically, of 15. But I would say I'm pretty liberal as a jersey guy. You know, with how expensive they are officially, you're going to end up dropping probably $100 on a jersey on NFL.com for a printed jersey that aren't really stitched most of the time. And if you want to buy a stitched jersey, normally they're around $130. With how expensive they are and how often you can miss on a purchase, I mean, my God, I'll just go into my closet, and some of the Eagles jerseys that I've invested in is the likes of Kevin Cobb, Nnamdi Asamoah. You know, I have a Terrell Owens. I'm not sure if you think that's a hit or miss, but you know, I have a few really bad ones, and it's not just the Eagles. A few other teams that I'm a fan of, I own some pretty brutal jerseys, and it's, you know, it's around, you're out like $100, $200 after you spend, you know, on a couple jerseys. That's a significant investment that you're just absolutely missing on with how unsure you are, you know, with how unsure player success is in sports. So I don't blame people for wanting to only pay $30 to $40 instead of $100, but I am curious what your guidelines are. So is it acceptable for me, and I'll post a picture on LockedOnEagles.com of this jersey, is it acceptable for me to own a Carson Wentz Kelly Green jersey? And it's not only because it's unofficial, but I know some fans frown upon, you know, having a current player with a former jersey, or vice versa. You know, you have an older player with a new jersey. I saw a lot for the one Eagles game, for the two Eagles games I went to last year, I saw a lot of Randall Cunningham midnight green jerseys. That's something I'm not okay with. I don't like having new jerseys with old players on it, but what I am a big fan of is having current players with former vintage unis. I'm okay. That's why I went in on the Carson Wentz Kelly Green jersey. I think it would be pretty cool to have a Donovan McNabb. I mean, not the yellow and blue one, but I don't know, say the 1970s Ron Jaworski version. Getting a Donovan McNabb in that, I think that's a pretty slick jersey. I'm okay with having current players on former jerseys. Vice versa, I'm not all right with. But outside of that, I'm pretty liberal. You know, I do it more for basketball jerseys when it comes to knockoffs because they look better to me. It's easier to get those right because normally NBA jerseys aren't logo-centric. They don't really have logos featured on the jerseys. Whereas with the Eagles, you know, I don't really do it with the birds because I've seen knockoffs at games, and the logo for the Eagles is something that it's not easy to get right. You know, have you ever tried to draw the Eagles' new logo? It's not easy, and I've seen the knockoffs, and the logo looks absolutely brutal. And although the rest of the jersey looks pretty official, and they're stitched most of the time, which is a nice perk, the logo is just something I can't seem to get around. So I don't own any Eagles knockoff jerseys except for the one, the Carson Wentz Kelly Green jersey, because that is a 1960s edition and it does not have a logo. So it's literally just, if as long as you get the Kelly Green color right in the letter and the numbers, you're fine. So, you know, it's the bright Kelly Green, it's the 11, it's got the NFL logo on the front, and then Carson, and then just Wentz on the back. So I'm okay with the jersey. I love it. It's my favorite jersey. I stopped buying current players, basically, except for Carson Wentz, you can't really miss on at this point. Although some people, you know, some unlawful critics, basically, that just don't deserve jobs, some that don't have any jobs anymore, at Kian Fahey, still think Carson Wentz isn't a good quarterback, which is laughable, but Carson Wentz is a solid one, and I knew basically when I purchased that one it was going to be okay. But outside of that, I've been making more vintage-type purchases. I bought a Randall Cunningham white jersey. I have a green one as well of Randall Cunningham. So I've been more going towards the vintage approach just because it's so tough to, unless you're buying a jersey of a franchise quarterback, it's very difficult to really nail jerseys. I know, you know, Fletcher Cox would be a one that you can basically, you know, lock in at, no matter what happens with his career at this point. Brandon Graham is at that level as well. He's been on the team since 2010, won a Super Bowl, has the most important play in Super Bowl in history for the Eagles, at least. You know, he's a good one. Nick Foles forever will be a good jersey now with the Eagles. I think basically anyone that was had a significant role with the 2017 Super Bowl champions, I think that's an acceptable jersey. And then it goes to, you know, I think the likes of, you know, I think a DeSean Jackson jersey will always stay in style. I have a LeSean McCoy. He's the all-time leading rusher in Eagles history. So that's an okay one. But, you know, I've seen the DeMarco Murray jerseys, the Kiko Alonso's, basically the Chip Kelly era jerseys that are just brutal. And so with that, I understand why people don't want to purchase $100 jerseys, and that's why I'm okay with it, that if you go in on a $30, $40 jersey from China, and that's what I did, and I'm very happy with my purchase. I love the jersey. I'll throw it up online at DiBiase LOE and on LockedOnEagles.com, but I'm very curious to get your thoughts, Eagles fans, on your guidelines for Eagles jerseys. So drop me a line. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on that. I let's just say I have a lot of takes on very irrelevant things in football and in sports in general. I think you're starting to realize that if you're a common listener, which, by the way, I do appreciate everyone that's been listening and been leaving me reviews and hitting me up on Twitter. We have an awesome fan base across the seas in the UK, so shout out to you guys. I know I shouted you out last week, but I really appreciate you guys listening to the show. So we got some good listeners, but if you've been listening consistently throughout this month that I've been doing the Locked On Eagles podcast, I think you can tell that I have a lot of random takes on things. So Jordan Hanskin of the Meadville Tribune outside of Pittsburgh joined me a couple episodes before this one to talk about the new Steagles. We formed two new Steagles teams, and you can find that as well on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, and Spotify, wherever you can find your pods. And we got into the Carson Wentz visor discussion because NM Sports, which is a sports marketing website that did the whole rebranding the Eagles to Kelly Green article that a bunch of Eagles journalists picked up on, including myself, they made me a picture of Carson Wentz with a visor because I think a visor is a huge plus when it comes to the look good, play good mentality in sports. The arm sleeve and a visor in football is key, depending on what position you are. And for Carson Wentz, I think the visor would absolutely complete his getup when it comes to equipment. And you know, you've played Madden before where you're creating a player and you soup him up to look like a robot, where you've got the coaching wristband, you got the elbow pads, you got the visor, the maybe even the tinted visor, the dark black liner underneath you. You got the arm sleeve and the glove on the non-throwing hand and then just a wristband on the other. You know, you've created players in Madden and have souped them up, so I got a lot of random takes, and this is another one. This is the jersey discussion, so hit me up, and we'll have a fun topic to discuss there on Twitter, and, of course, as always, on LockedOnEagles.com. So, our next segment here on the June 22nd edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast is the ones that got away. Players that were close or projected to becoming Eagles that you really wanted to be an Eagle, but it just didn't happen. But first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast. Locked On Eagles is listened to by 98% men. That's right, 98%. And 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you're trying to reach men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are very reasonable. You can email me at lockedoneaglespodcast@gmail.com or at louisdibiase@yahoo.com to find out more. So let's get into it. I'm excited for this one. This is another fun topic we can discuss, killing the time until Eagles training camp, and it's the ones that got away. So basically, throughout the draft process, with mock drafts being as popular as they are today in the football world, and not just in the football world, but the sports world in general, you get a lot of players tagged to your team before they ever become a part of your team, if they ever even do. And they get linked to your team when they have visits. You know, players pretty much see every team. And there's so many analysts and so many media, sports media outlets out there that project stuff that you'll watch a guy on film and you'll really like him. And you'll see a mock draft that has him to your team, and you get on board with that. And that's the player you kind of become loyal to throughout the draft process. Or maybe it's even in free agency. There's a guy that you that came close to signing with your team, but someone else offered a little bit more, and they ended up taking the contract from the other team. So I have five here for me that I'm going to give. And I'd appreciate if you also hit me up, tell me what Eagles that were never Eagles you are still thinking about today. And that's, again, at DiBiase, L-O-E, on Twitter. My number one Eagle that was never an Eagle is Dalvin Cook, who was a second-round pick last year for the Minnesota Vikings. And this was a close one. This one almost happened. The Eagles met with Dalvin Cook a few times throughout the draft process. His mom even said, or his grandmother said, that the Eagles were showing the most interest of anyone in Dalvin. So he did, and I talked with his high school coach last year in an interview, because there was a lot of character issues surrounding Dalvin Cook, and I didn't really think there was any weight to it. And after talking with his coach from high school, I doubled down on that take, and I thought, this is a surefire franchise running back that could be a dominant force in the league for the next decade. I thought, you know, Leonard Fournette went ahead of him, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara blew up last year in the third round, but I thought Dalvin Cook was the most talented running back last year in the draft, and I thought he was a first-round prospect, and I think the only reason he fell to the second was because of these quote-unquote character issues. I thought the Eagles were going to take him at 12. You know, I did not see... I knew Derek Barnett was someone they were interested in, but look, if we're just talking me as a fan, I was rooting for Dalvin Cook. I love Derek Barnett now. He's part of two of the biggest plays in Eagles history, but I'm not going to lie if I say that I was a little disappointed when the Eagles did not take Dalvin Cook. And then you have it in the second round where the Eagles are two picks away and Dalvin Cook is still on the board. And it was the Cincinnati Bengals on the clock next. And there was no way with them already drafting who they had, Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill. It just didn't seem like they were going to spend a second round value on a running back. And they didn't. So there was only one more pick, and you're thinking, wow, they're going to end up getting Dalvin Cook in the second round. They're not going to have to move any picks for him. He's going to fall right into their lap, and they're going to get a potential top 10 talent in the second round. And little do we know, I look away for 2 seconds. I just went in the other room to start talking up Dalvin Cook to my dad, actually, to start saying, like, this guy is going to be the new big thing at running back, and the Eagles are about to get him, because it was a lock, basically. I thought that they were going to get him, and the reports say it pretty much proves that the Eagles tried to trade up to that spot, 2 picks ahead of where they ended up taking Sidney Jones, who, I'm not going to lie, I'll probably be okay with the pick, and because I think Sidney Jones will be an elite corner in the league, but they did try to move up for him, and the Vikings end up trading up a couple spots right in front of the Eagles and nab Dalvin Cook. And although Dalvin Cook tore his ACL last year, only a few weeks into the season, he was showing his elite talent immediately when the league started. When he got hurt, he had the third most rushing yards in football. He was averaging over 4 yards a carry. He was an impactful player in the passing game. I had him on my fantasy football team, and I'll tell you, I reaped the benefits that first month of the season. And man, I know the Eagles won the Super Bowl, so it's not really a what if, like how much better would they have been with Dalvin Cook? Because Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, you know, LeGarrette Blount, the Eagles had their production at running back by committee, but looking back, Carson Wentz and Dalvin Cook in the backfield would have been a fan dream of mine. So Dalvin Cook to me is my number one. He's one of my most, you know, obviously I am loyal to Eagles players over any other in the NFL, but you always have those, the players you follow in the league that aren't on your favorite team. It's basically just like the NBA, where basically most young fans do that. They don't even have a team. They just follow players. And there's a few of those in the NFL I think all you fans have. And for me, one of those guys is Dalvin Cook. So he's my number one guy that got away that was never an Eagle. Number two, and this is probably a popular one that I'm going to get in my inbox a lot and in my mentions this week, and it's Marcus Mariota, who was a second overall pick for the Tennessee Titans in the 2015 NFL Draft. Obviously, you know him. Big young quarterback that, although struggled in 2017, I think he's going to have a bounce back year in 2018. This was the hype of the 2015 offseason. When Chip Kelly wrestled control from Howie Roseman, everyone thought he was going all in to make a trade for his former Oregon quarterback that he got to a national championship with, or came close, at least. He got to a national championship with Darren Thomas. Marcus Mariota, though, did get to a national title, lost to Ohio State. That after that, they thought the Eagles are going to end up trading the farm for him. The Eagles were picking at 20, so although maybe it was a little irrational to think the Eagles were going to get all the way up, we all bought into the hype. We thought Chip Kelly was going to do what it took, and then when they traded Nick Foles for Sam Bradford, I remember the wind coming out of those sails, and I don't think I've ever been so upset about an acquisition in sports. I was on the verge of tears when Sam Bradford ended up coming to Philadelphia, because that is the opposite kind of quarterback that I'm into. I like the bigger bodies, the mobile quarterbacks that can extend plays, and I like youth in sports. I like building my roster around younger players because it's cheaper and they're more athletic and more talented. I know the experience part has to come into play at some point, but I like having youth around, and I think having a young quarterback's always fun, because even if you don't end up making the playoffs or making a big impact in a season, if that player develops, that can go a long way, and it's still an enjoyable season. It's why I loved the 2016 Eagles season, even though Carson Wentz and the Eagles only went 7-9. But the Eagles ended up offering an extensive amount to the Tennessee Titans. I believe it was Fletcher Cox, Brandon Boykin, Michael Kendricks, two first-round picks, and you could choose any quarterback on their roster. So it was either Sam Bradford, Matt Barkley, or Mark Sanchez, which probably isn't really that appealing, and it clearly wasn't, as the Titans just took Mariota. But everyone, the hashtag do the deal, everyone was expecting the Eagles to go all in for Marcus Mariota, and when the Titans went on the clock and it took a little bit for them to make the selection, you kept holding out hope until Roger Goodell finally went to the podium and said the Titans select Marcus Mariota, and that was a heartbreaker. Why he's below Dalvin Cook, though, is because obviously a year later, the Eagles get a better quarterback at number two overall in Carson Wentz, who right now, you could make the case that he's the best quarterback in the NFL. You cannot make the case for Marcus Mariota right now when it comes to that. And if Marcus Mariota was an Eagle right now, Chip Kelly would still have a job, and they probably wouldn't have won a Super Bowl. They just wouldn't have. Mariota is a guy I believe in the NFL, but he's just not on the level that Carson Wentz is. Number three, this is a smaller one, a more underrated approach or player that you probably wouldn't have drawn up in your head at all, and it's Jimmy Smith, the corner for the Baltimore Ravens that came out of Colorado in the 2011 draft. We all know, okay, the Eagles clearly have a deep corner group now, but for what, a decade and a half? Not 15 years, but probably a 6 to 8 year stretch, the Eagles had nothing at corner. And with, of course, one exception, and that's Mr. Pick Six himself, Asante Samuel. But outside of that, after the Sheldon Brown, Lito Shepard era, outside of Asante Samuel, the Eagles were rotating through the likes of Husilio Hansen, Ellis Hobbs, Bradley Fletcher, Kerry Williams, Nnamdi Asomugha. It just pains me to say all these names. And in that 2011 draft, one of the bigger names at corner was Jimmy Smith. Some people thought Prince Amukamara was going to be a guy that, I mean, he was a first-round pick. He went to the Giants. A lot of guys thought Prince Amukamara was going to be a really good player in the NFL. But the third consensus corner was Jimmy Smith, and he's a player I really liked. And he's had a really good career for the Ravens. He's dealt with some injuries throughout his career, but he was the starting corner in the Super Bowl win the Ravens had over the Niners. He played a key component. Remember, he was covering Crabtree on those four plays in the red zone where the Niners could have took the lead. And Jimmy Smith held Michael Crabtree in check, and the Ravens ended up winning that Super Bowl. He's a bigger body. He can tackle. He's pretty fast. Jimmy Smith was a guy I thought was going to be a complete number one corner, and if you paired him up with Asante Samuel, they wouldn't have spent all that money on Nnamdi Asomugha. They wouldn't have got DRC. And it wouldn't have changed the Dream Team era those 2 years, but Jimmy Smith was a player I saw mocked to the Eagles a lot based on their need for corner. And I thought they were going to pull the trigger, because I know teams always say they go best player available, but most teams, including the Eagles, throughout their history, have a tendency to draft for need. If you go, I can go through the almost every Eagles pick, and I can say they had a need there at that spot. And Jimmy Smith, with out of Colorado at corner, was a player the Eagles could have used. And he was a player that, you know, when they took Danny Watkins, a guard doesn't really excite you. And when Jimmy Smith went away and fell to the Ravens a few picks later, that was one that got to me. And it probably didn't get to you that much. You probably don't remember that all that often, but that's one that sticks out in my mind. Number four of five here. I got, so to recap, I had Dalvin Cook, Marcus Mariota, and Jimmy Smith. Number four is Sony Michel. This is this past NFL draft running back out of Georgia, who ended up going one pick ahead of the Eagles at 31 to the New England Patriots. He was a guy Daniel Jeremiah thought was going to go to the Eagles, who used to work on the Eagles scouting department, has the ins basically with Howie Roseman. A lot of people thought the Eagles were going to draft a running back in the first couple of rounds this year, although they pretty much have shown a tendency now to only really invest late round picks, undrafted contracts, and small free agency prove it deals. It's in this draft, because there was basically no need for the Eagles, I thought that they were going to go after a running back. And someone like Sony Michel, who thrives in the receiving game, is an incredible pass blocker. The zone concepts that he really had success in at Georgia, I thought he would have fit in perfectly with the Eagles. You know, those the when the offensive line's moving to the left or to the right, and it's kind of a moving line to get their running backs out in space. That, and you know, those misdirection plays, I think Sony Michel would have been great in the Eagles running attack. And it's, you know, then you don't really have to have the running back by committee approach. It's just there's a few skills. Obviously three of the four are flashy positions, because when you're going through the draft process, and if your team could use one of these skill position players, you watch their highlights, you can't help but get excited for these guys. And Sony Michel is a player that was probably my Dalvin Cook of this year. So 2 years straight, I've kind of had a man crush on a few running backs. I think Sony Michel is going to be a star with the New England Patriots. Hopefully no one in my fantasy football league is listening to me right now, because they will find out that I'm probably going to take Sony Michel in the draft this year. Let's hope that no one from the BGE hears me. Number five, and the final one that got away, Eagles that never became Eagles, it's the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, who was picked two spots after Benny Logan in that 2013 NFL draft. The Eagles had took Lane Johnson first in the first round, then they had Zach Ertz in the second, so back-to-back drills of draft picks in that draft. But then they took Benny Logan, who's no longer with the team, was a pretty restricted defensive tackle, was decent in the run game, played only a few years with the Eagles. They could have had Tyrann Mathieu, and this is another secondary player that, again, in 2013, the Eagles could have used a lot of help at corner and at safety. And Mathieu, who still is one of the most versatile players in the NFL, became a star with the Cardinals. I know he's kind of tailored off the past few years, basically because of injury. I still think he's an elite defensive player when it comes to secondary guys. I think he's still at the top of the list when it comes to talent at safety and corner. And the fact, if you had Tyrann Mathieu right now in this offense, or in this defense, kind of moving around being like the Malcolm Jenkins, I know they ended up getting Malcolm Jenkins, but you had Tyrann Mathieu to this defense, and at the time, you didn't know what Malcolm Jenkins was going to be. He wasn't on the team yet. And you really thought, even when Jenkins came in, I remember everyone wanted Jarius Byrd for the Eagles. Thank God that didn't happen. And that was one of the better Chip Kelly signings with Howie Roseman. But Honey Badger, you're looking back and you get 4 years out of a defensive tackle in Benny Logan. You probably would have preferred to have the Honey Badger. And with some of those teams, that 2013 playoff team, they might have ended up going deeper into the playoffs if you have a player like Tyrann Mathieu. So if you want to look back at my list, I'm going to post it on LockedOnEagles.com. And again, tell me who some of the players you really wanted the Eagles to get but never became a Philadelphia Eagle. I feel like Frank Gore is going to be a very popular one, considering he backed out of the Eagles deal at the last second back in 2015. Again, the best offseason of all time. So much chaos. I think I'm going to get a lot of Frank Gore love in my mentions. Number one was Dalvin Cook. Number two, Marcus Mariota. Number three, Jimmy Smith, probably the most surprising of the list. Number four, Sony Michel. And number five, Tyrann Mathieu, a.k.a. the Honey Badger. That's going to put a wrap on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Louie DiBiase, signing off. We will be back tomorrow to wrap up the week, and then Monday, again, we are going to be interviewing Dennis Dixon, former quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, former Heisman runner-up at Oregon. He would have won the Heisman if he didn't have that gruesome leg injury against Arizona, so very excited to have him on the show, and we're going to have him on this Monday. Myself, Justin Grasso is going to be making his debut this week as well, and so is Johnny Page, who's bringing you a new film-based podcast to the network. Very excited to have those two guys on board. So, for myself, Lou DiBiase, signing off, this has been the Locked On Eagles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you. We will see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds.